A weak solidarity brigade team listener, when hasn't big supremo Anthony Albanese's latest attempt at social cohesion worked a treat? For instance, it cohesed thousands and thousands who condemned the slaughter, destruction, genocide and starvation of the Palestinian non-land, non-people, big time. Even though they did violently attack the police, batons and chemical weapons and fists and sharpened boots with their body parts like torsos and backs and heads. Some evil enough to pray that the poor innocent constabulary would be inflicted with divine intervention, prompting a gentle burst of very non-divine intervention. But let's be clear. Sure, they were Muslims at prayer, but the copper overseeing all this assured there is not a skerrick of racism in the forces of law and order. Indeed, he praised the police for, he said, showing great, you know, like, restraint, leaving us to ponder what it might have looked like if they hadn't. Backed up by Anthony, who immediately attacked those who opposed slaughter, destruction, genocide and starvation for causing themselves to be bashed the shit out of. The New South Wales Supremo, oh, perhaps the less said the better, yet again highlighting his socialist credentials. For we should all welcome this guest to our country, should all forget he has been accused of inciting genocide, forget in an election campaign his material, for instance, had a Palestinian in the sights of a rifle, declared they are less than human. Indeed, a litany of racist attacks on the non-land, non-people, although, correction, when Zion says and does such things, it is not racist, but simply expressing its right to defend itself from, well, from the people who still believe their land is their land, when all the responsible people know it is no longer their land, showing the thousands and thousands who took to the streets are irresponsible. But in fairness, one of the most responsible of the responsible, our very own minister, were going overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect, Penny Left Wing, did finally make a strong statement. The military regime has subjected people to 5 years of violence, widespread human rights violations, and severe humanitarian suffering. Dozens of democratically elected politicians were detained as a communications blackout befell the country, plagued by a civil war, rampant repression. This crisis continues unabated. In 2026, an estimated 16.2 million people will require life-saving humanitarian assistance, and over 3.6 million people are internally displaced. Strong stuff compared to Penny's usual profound waffling nothingness. She's finally decided the slaughter, destruction, genocide and starvation have gone too far, even by her support for Zion. Well, sorry, listener, no. She was talking about Myanmar. Penny would never utter such condemnation of Zion. Rather, she's happily shaking the hand of its alleged war criminal welcome visitor. And maybe Anthony and Penny could explain their iteration and reiteration. The resolution of the slaughter must be a two-state solution, without telling us where the two states should be. And more importantly, given that Zion Supremo Benjamin Netanyahu and his henchmen, and they are all men as far as I can see, declare there will never be a non-people, non-land state, reinforced while they were shaking hands, welcoming and being lectured about anti-Semitism by their guests, governments annexing even more of what's left of the West Bank. No official complaint from True the Aussie. Anthony, Penny, an explanation wouldn't go astray, wouldn't hurt. Another, like our, a police who hasn't a racist bone in his body, US of the UN of the US of the world, big supremo Donald Trump or the poor. So a social media post depicting Michelle and Barack Obama as apes, a racist trope, was clearly not racist, confirmed when Donald's press secretary warned the media, please stop the fake outrage and report on something today that actually matters, like racism doesn't, and poisoned, although a number, well, lots of journos, failed to take her advice, suggesting outrageously just maybe that Don is a touch racist. And one black Don does love. Cole. Clean, beautiful Cole. The greatest clean, beautiful Cole ever, ever. He echoes former Troop the Aussie Big Supremo Scummo. Those admirable human beings, coal executives, mining executives, and energy industry leaders, that is, fossil energy industry leaders, are joining the Commander-in-Chief at the White House. Maybe it's time for a name change that trampled the poor Black House, to announce new orders that government and the train killer industry must buy coal power. Clean, beautiful coal power. To back up his clean, beautiful words, Donald is also handing $246 million to upgrade six coal plants. And the same press secretary, reaffirming we can believe everything we read, see and hear in the capitalist press, spouted, "The big supremo will discuss how clean and beautiful coal is not only keeping the lights on, but also driving down the cost of electricity across the country." A truism expressed regularly by the clean, beautiful coal and gas and oil behemoths here in Troop the Aussie, that renewables will inflate energy costs and, oh, that will hurt the families and dear little children they so care about. So there has to be another explanation for why, when in the December quarter, renewables for the first time provided more than half the power and there was huge demand, why wholesale electricity prices were 44% lower than the same quarter a year ago and 43% lower than the previous quarter. There must be another explanation. A Griffith University Associate Professor and Climate Counsellor Joel Gilmore, who's been studying these things for years, did say, "Renewables are not driving power bills up. My research has shown they are already helping to bring them down. If we want affordable, secure power, the answer is to finish modernising our energy system, not clinging to technologies already failing us." What would he know, listener? What would he know compared to the fossil giants who pollute to their big heart's content day after day? To make matters worse, for the fossil giants, an increasing number of groups and organisations, including a group called the Superpower Institute, has put out a report suggesting we should stop subsidising the fossils and, oh dear, how's this for rubbish, make the polluters pay. A polluter pays principle means those who impose climate costs will face them directly. It blasphemes. Oh, and if we think that 44% forward electricity wholesale prices will be reflected in our retail electricity bills, come on, no need to answer that. Feature page article this week, headline, "Should taxpayers help fund $50,000 a year private schools?" No problem answering that one either, listener. Sadly, governments have different ideas. Better to starve the public system than upset the filthy rich. Like the transfer of public health funds to prop up the private health system, including insurance, which would be unnecessary if we had a genuine free universal health care system, which Medicare was designed to be before former big supremo little Johnny Howard in particular used it to prop up his mates in the private sector. Not that he's an orphan there. And those who were around will recall the spectacularly courageous performance by then Socialist Party supremo and would-be big supremo Kim Beesneys. "We oppose the move," he was all strength, "but if elected, we will not change it." Ah, courage. Well, one of the biggest private hospital chains, Health Coptis Taxpayers, has hit the financial brick wall due to the usual competence of the private sector and will roll much of its empire into a charitable trust, meaning it will pay no tax, prompting even one of the more neoliberal economic journalists to point out this will rob the public purse of $100 million a year. Instead, this will prop up its cash flows by taxpayers not paying tax. We're all taking a financial hit. Doesn't matter. It's private, so it's more efficient. and we all love, love, love the Walt Disney Company, and we are thrilled it's true that the Aussie subsidiary racked up a massive revenue increase to more than $1 billion, the vast amount of which was paid as royalties to its US of parent, meaning that it must make the company feel so disappointed it paid hardly any tax in True Blue Aussie. Well, obviously, it has to pay royalties to itself. And rest assured, have no fear, there is no doubt it is meeting its legal tax obligations. On the public purse, the political year ended, we recall, with the caring business class, hayseed and sheepshit parties, sometimes coalition and sometimes not, very righteously condemning the abuse of parliamentary expenses. And they certainly wouldn't. Even though three of them, Ted No-Brain, Michaela Costa-Workers and Dan Tea and Free Champagne, charged thousands on travel and accommodation to attend a caring business class party fundraiser in Sydney. But fear not, No-Brain also conducted parliamentary business. Michaela also conducted parliamentary business, and Dan, we guessed it, yes, conducted parliamentary business. As a by the by, Green Senator Sarah Hanson-Young racked up about $50,000 flying her husband to Canberra, which he's allowed to do, but then he's a lobbyist who works in Canberra. And here's the interesting bit. One of his clients is big polluter Rio Tinto the Planet. Must make for interesting breakfast conversation. And as the government's private sector housing solution falls further and further behind schedule, it's found the perfect solution to providing lots and lots of public housing. It's named 67 unwanted train killer department sites, 16 in Victoria. Ideal for public housing with the government already owning the land. Oh, sorry, my mistake. I misread it. It plans to flog off the sites to private developers. We keep forgetting governments washed their hands of public housing years ago. Aware the solution to housing those who can't afford a roof over their heads lies in the super-efficient private sector. Another promising possibility down the private profit gurgler. Oh, and that senior counsel's reporting to the evil CFMEU. 200 men on a building site is an ideal scenario for drug dealing, he tells us. And I thought, but then 200 men and women in a barrister's chambers, for instance, must also be an ideal scenario for drug dealing. I'm sure he can explain that. And how remiss, we haven't mentioned the big, big news of the week. Forget the visit by a war criminal. Big, big, big news that has the Canberra Press Gallery having multiple orgasms. And why haven't we mentioned it, listener? Well, couldn't give a stuff, and what's it matter, spring to mind. Suppose right now Susan is gushing over the roses and chocolate she's received from Angus for Valentine's Day. Finally, as Herzog addressed a Zionist gathering here Thursday with glowing praise from our state socialist supremo, he said we should be protesting against evil Iran, which kills thousands of its own people. We do not kill our own people, we kill the other. At Thursday's rally, and Monday and Thursday were both, as we know, huge and inspiring with excellent speeches, one speaker said Herzog was not welcome on stolen land, and I thought, well, that's not going to upset him one bit. His position is based on, he lives his life on, stolen land. Good morning.